Hey, Pandora listeners, this is Brett Yonker from Passion.
My shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I try to hide. It was my turn till I met you. You called my
Happy Easter, everybody. Let's get up and worship the Lord.
Son of God, Son of Man, His life poured out for all. See His hands, see His scars, His love can't be denied. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. A Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. Every debt, all we owe, He bears it as His own. We are free to live in Christ alone.
What happens?
Our God is high and lifted up. Yeah. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. A Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love, all to Jesus we owe, He paid it all.
Let's hear you now.
See the Lamb of God, see the Father's love, all to Jesus we owe, He paid it all to Jesus we owe, He paid it all. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. A Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood He shed delivers me. A Savior's arms are open wide. A love so great, the cross of Christ.
That's a good start. Let's keep it going.
The earth is filled with His glory.
we sing. Together we sing, and everyone sings. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is grace.
God, I am longing to see you in your presence. All darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. I pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I will be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for is glorious grace. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. All of my praise for this glorious grace.
Celebrate this day of your resurrection, which changed all of history. But God, it should be something that changes us every single moment of the day that we live under that resurrection power. So God, for your many gifts to us that not only began from the beginning of time, but that you gave us the greatest gift in your Son, Jesus Christ, we now take time to give back to you through your tithe and our offerings so that we may be able to meet the needs of the world that you've called us to meet. So God, we ask that as we continue in this worship, time of worship, that you, God, you just minister to us and that you give us your Holy Spirit, that same Spirit to raise Jesus from the dead. Multiply these gifts and your tithes as we continue to worship your name. We love you, Lord, in your name. Amen.
day when heaven was filled with his praises. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh glorious day.
Over his mountain, one day they nailed him to die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our
stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had honored. Now he's ashamed.
Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again.
Rising again.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Jesus is my
sing with me.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Now, before we do that again, I want to sing that again, and I want us all up now, okay? We're going to get up. This is the resurrection of the Lord. So start with your bodies. Here we go. All right, so we're going to start. I want to go with, let's go with the chorus into the bridge.
Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away.
You believe it?
your glorious day. Glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one bringing. My Savior Jesus is my new thing. Living,
dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away.
Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Glorious day, oh glorious day.
All right, let's give a shout of praise. All right, now, look at the person next to you and say, Happy Easter. All right, our kids can go to our Haven Kids Sunday School Ministry, and you can say hi to those around.
Whoops. They weren't singing?
All right, happy Easter, everyone. That was really lame. Okay, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
A little bit better. All right, one more time. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right, there you go. All right, good to see everybody here today. I want to do a couple announcements. Number one, if you're visiting with family or you're visiting here for the first time, first thing, relax. Second thing is, hey, just want to let you know, Jesus rose from the dead a long time ago, so we should continually live like that if we are Christians. Amen? All right, we're getting there. All right, so, but we are glad that you're here and you're our guest. We want to welcome Church Online. We recognize that many watch online. And so happy Easter to Church Online, whether you're on Facebook Live or on our website. Today, the Paris Foundation, we will be serving at the Paris Foundation. And so we are thrilled to be able to help with that. Please look at the other announcements here with the other schedules. If you're interested still in the Haiti mission trip, you can see the information about that, and we'd love to have you connect. In front there, in the front chairs, I think it's on the floor there, we have clipboards. If you would be so kind to pass them around, we are helping with Christmas in April. And so if you're interested in helping with that, it has some of the information that you're doing. If you don't know how to do that, that's all right. There's people who are skilled that will help you. And if you have any other information, I know Keith is here, and Keith's our bass player and does a lot of other things. He will be glad to help with that information. So we just hope that you're willing to go ahead and connect to do that, and you can see the dates better are there. All right, April 27th at 8 a.m. You have an insert. That is for the National Day of Prayer. That is May the 2nd. Guess what? May's right around the corner. Everybody excited? Teachers are excited that June is around the corner, right? There we go. All right. So May is around the corner. This year's theme, we will have a service here, Day of Prayer, is love one another. And boy, could the world use a good dose of that. Am I right? So love one another. Mark your calendars and connect for that. You can take that home and put it up where you get to see that. Men's group dinner get together. A couple things that were said there. Men grouping together for dinner. That's an awesome thing, am I right? And they're going to be meeting at Jim Forsman's home on April 23rd at 6:30. Food will be provided. That's also something else good. Men group, food provided. There we go. It's good stuff. And Jake Allen is here, so you can also connect with them. And if you're not quite sure, you can email info@havencc.org, and that information will get to you. So you can see some of the other announcements. As an insert, and I got to pull out my old man glasses as I turn 48 this week. So here you go. I have an insert here, which is, it says on it, the 2009 annual Easter survey. You say, well, I've been here a while, and I've not seen this. This is the first annual Haven survey. So what I'd like to do, if you look on the other side that says response card, this is just to have your information and to put that down. I promise you we will not market or sell it anyway. You won't get on a list that you don't like. This just has some information about you. It also has a space for a prayer request. If it's a private prayer request that you might not want your name on there, just fill it out. We've got others here that will be glad to have you fill out with your information, but we want to go ahead and make sure that we get your prayer requests and lift those up. On the other side, you can see that whether it's your first time or you're a regular attender, or you've been here a while, we would like to hear from you. And what I'm asking is, it says, I'd like to hear a message on what the Bible says about. And you can see that I have several there. If you're watching Facebook Live, one of those is other. I love for nobody to want anything about the other ones, that you just want, got something else that you want to hear a sermon about. And so you can see what some of the topics are. What heaven will be like, share my faith, become a leader, overcome addiction, forgiving others, getting out of a spiritual rut, raising kids in today's culture, discover God's plan for my life. This is one that nobody needs. Dealing with difficult people, right? Nobody has difficult people in your life. Surviving the worst moments of your life, handling stress, how to pray, the Holy Spirit, and then you have the blank, other, whatever else you'd like to hear about. I would love to hear from you. And what will happen is I will take several of these and we will put that together in the fall and we will have a series on these top ones, and we will give a message on what you want to hear, okay? And you may say, well, Jack, isn't that your job? Yes, but sometimes God speaks to you, and that's awesome. You get a chance, and then if you don't like the message, blame yourself, all right? So, but we have that. The next thing, the thing on the bottom, you can see number two, I'm interested in hearing more about these themes: burnout, family, finances, death, miracles, forgiveness, my identity, injustice, hope, time, money, and there's that blank. Other, once again. So you have your opportunity to put in things there as well. One of those things is so that we can go ahead and help gear our small group ministries to help focus on those things. Several people participated in a financial peace seminar here, and many people were really thrilled to be able to go ahead and apply biblical principles to help change your finances, okay? So we want to be able to meet those needs, reach out to you, and connect to what you want to, what you're interested in small groups. That being said, in 2 weeks, we are going to start a new small group. And how many of you want to be happy? Anybody want to be happy in life? If you don't raise your hand, you're miserable, okay? So Melinda, can you put that up there for us? What makes you happy? How many know what makes you happy? We are going to do a series that was based on the book put and the series put out by Andy Stanley. Some of you may know Charles Stanley, his father, or Andy Stanley, who's a pastor in the Georgia area, and we're going to go through this. I think this is something, because as I teach philosophy, I go around my classes, and I ask people, what is your goal in life? And everybody says, to be happy. But I'll give you a hint. Guess what the first week is? It is, what makes you happy? Nothing, okay? So many of us are like that. Many of us will never be happy, right? Or will we? You have to come back and check out. So we will have, this will be the series. Also to let you know, those of you who are on right, who we have your information through Right Now Media, all the small group resources as far as the videos are on Right Now Media. So we want to utilize that. If you're not on that, it's our free gift to you, no matter if this is your first time here. We want to go ahead and let you get a chance to go ahead and use that, and you can do Bible studies on your own or with other people, and that is our gift as a church to anybody who is here. All right, sound good? Are you happy? Not yet. You got to come back for a couple weeks, okay? So we'll touch on that. I will touch on the bottom part of this the rest of time. Prayer concerns that we have today, I don't know that anybody brought some up. I know we had some prayer concerns from the Stecker family. They had someone who passed away at the age of 62 this week, and so we had some other prayers. One I want to lift up is somebody who that our family knows and some people in this room know, the name Danny McCoy. And Danny was just diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And he's 52 years old. And so we want to pray for him and his family as they face this treatment. And he is down in Lower Delaware. And so caught a lot of people off guard, at Dan too. So we want to keep praying for him in all this process and for any others, okay? All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that there are many needs that are in this room, and some go unspoken, but God, you know every single thing. And so right now, as we come to you and we seek your direction for the remainder of this service, we thank you, number one, for your resurrection. Because God, no matter what we lift up as prayer, it is already answered because you overcame sin and death. So God, as we go ahead and speak about this further today, and as we have you minister to us through your Holy Spirit, we lift up those concerns and the pains and the struggles that we deal with. We lift up the joys and the other things that you have brought into our lives or that have been brought into our lives. And God, we bring them here today. We give them to you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit move mightily, particularly for those names that we mentioned and for those that are in our hearts and our minds. And for God, the rest of this Easter service, this Resurrection Day, we dedicate completely to you. And I pray that everyone's heart and mind will be open and that we will experience resurrection power. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
My ruins, resurrected. God, this is the end.
You can't tell me you can make the dead in me come back to life.
Everything turns to ashes, but without the hope of revival.
Imagine living with faith in God. I can't. Get back on my feet, I stumble and fall, but I am too weak to make it on my own.
So my only option is surrender.
I throw my hands in the air. I give up. I ruin everything I touch.
It's foolish to think that God can restore my life.
Wait, God can restore my life. It's foolish to think that I ruin everything I touch. I give up. I throw my hands in the air. Surrender is my only option.
I'm too weak to make it on my own, so I stumble and fall, but get back on my feet with faith in God.
I can't imagine living without the hope of revival.
Everything turns to ashes. But you can make the dead in me come back to life.
You can't tell me this is the end. God resurrected my ruins.
Isn't that cool? So it just goes to show sometimes, and this is what Easter's about. It's about God taking what we think is heading to an area of death and destruction and whipping it back around and turning it back around and making it life, all right? So I want you guys awake today, okay? You're awake?
Yes.
Remember, I've been known to bring out a hose in a service, remember? So, all right. So we are going to talk today about 3 days ruined. Anybody ever had a ruined day in your life? We have been just came from a series called Famous Last Words, and in that Famous Last Words series, we were talking about Jesus on the cross. And so today, we're going to talk about 3 days ruined. And our scripture lesson, starting off, is one of my favorite Easter verses. It comes from Romans chapter 8, and it says this: "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit that lives within you." So what he's saying is that same Spirit, that same stuff that got Jesus up when he was dead for 3 days in the tomb, was not just meant for one day and one moment and one celebration. That God intended for it to live in you as well. And it's not just to celebrate Easter as a holiday, although we should celebrate it because it's awesome, but God never intended for a single celebration of the resurrection. God wanted continual Easter power to go on and live in you, in the dead things in your life. Now, what we're going to talk about today is some dead things. And you don't have to celebrate Easter, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to celebrate Easter. What we need to do is we need to live Easter. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. What are you saying, Jack? Let me put it this way. I'm going to put it this way. The resurrection power of Jesus gives you the power to close the gap between the life that you are living and the life that you could live. I'm going to say that again because that's a mouthful. And after a couple services and singing a lot, my voice is starting to get shot. So you're going to hear it raspy and it might sound really good to you. All right, here we go. So the resurrection of Jesus gives you who the power? Yeah, there you go. Let's try that again. Gives who the power? I'll start singing, I got the power, if you want me to, all right? So it gives you the power to close the gap between the life you are currently living and the life you could live under the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know whether that does anything to you, but as Jesus came and said, I came that you may have life and have it to the full and have it abundantly. And last time I checked, my life ain't acting that way. What about yours? This is responsive. You can speak. It's okay. All right. What about yours? No. Okay, good. Check the pulse of somebody next to you. Just make sure they're alive. We need a resurrection, okay? So what we have, so we want to close that gap because Jesus promised us more than this thing that we're living right now. He didn't die so that we could just live in this existence that we do now. He lived and died for something more. Now, some of you may be here today and you are haunted by the fact that your life should look and be different. And you may have done something. You may have done well. You may have tried to change your life a little bit. Anybody ever tried to change your life? Anyone ever said, you know what, I'm going to do it differently now. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to approach everything differently. I've got it. I got willpower. I've got my little tapes. I've got those little tapes that you put in your ear and say, you are great. You can do this. You are special. People like you. Anybody ever heard of those things, right? And so you have those together, you're rolling along, and guess what? After a while, you get rid of the tapes and you end right back because you are doing it under your own power, not resurrection power. You see, initially, the church of my dreams, and it's still the church of my dreams, is a place where people don't come to church, but people become the church. It's a place where people want to come to gather together with other believers to experience a vibrant spiritual journey with Christ. That if I didn't show up one day, that you guys had church and you were preaching all day. Because the resurrection power and your need and desire to grow closer to Christ was there. Haven, the name, came as a safe place for that journey. And if you look at the Bible is a continual process of people having a journey. For instance, have you ever really, really looked at the people in the Bible? I mean, really looked at them? They're a mess. They're a complete mess. They're horrible. They're awful. They did all kinds of bad things, and it took them a while to get where they were. Have you considered the disciples? We put them up in stained glass. We named churches after them. We even put saints in their names. And they were messes. They were horrible. That should give you a lot of comfort. That they even cursed Jesus. They denied him. They did other things. They were fishermen, but they never made it, caught any fish without Jesus' help. They were awful. They were tax collectors. How many like those people right now, huh? So This is where we are. These are the people that were there. We could go to Old Testament. If you really want to see Jerry Springer back in the Old Testament, all those people should have been on Jerry Springer. Am I right? And you don't act like you don't watch Jerry Springer. I know it. I've seen you, okay? We understand this, but we put them in this point that they're in the book, and yet they're all a mess. And what we see is that there is a process that God uses to bring them to the point that they become in our days. And in our mindset. So what I was doing this week is I was thinking about this Easter service. And I was thinking about a question that I never really thought about before. And here was the question I thought about. Why 3 days? Why 3 days? Okay? Now, you say, well, and you're probably trying to figure that out now, right? Aren't you? Hopefully. Hopefully you care enough to try to figure that out. So what I'm saying is this. I started saying, why 3 days? Because if it was about Jesus dying and raising from the dead, okay, couldn't he have just been on the cross, died when they took him down? He said, surprise, I'm alive. Wouldn't that accomplish the same thing? Am I right?
Of course it would. But what? Why the 3 days? There's a purpose in it. And so I said, there's got to be a purpose in here. And I think I found it. I think I found it. Because I believe that what Christ is doing, he's showing us a process of a spiritual journey. For instance, there's Friday, which was filled with death. There's Saturday, that was burial. There's Sunday, which is resurrection. There are steps and process in the spiritual journey. And Jesus is showing us the way we can handle things that happen in our life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, this is the kind of life you've been invited to. In other words, God is inviting you into a journey with him. And it says, the kind of life that Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so that you would also know that it could be done. Now, for those of you who listened and were part of our last series, that's very similar to the theme verse in Hebrews chapter 12. So it says he suffered in any way, so you knew it could be done, and he also know how to do a step-by-step deal. Now, let me ask you, how many people really like YouTube to kind of figure out stuff? Wouldn't it be cool if God had a YouTube channel? Like, this is how to live life. And he says, step one, Jack, you do this. You're like, okay, I can do that. Step two, oh, that might be a little bit harder, but I'm going to do it. Thanks, God. And you say, he's like, no problem. And he say, see you tomorrow. And you subscribe to God's channel. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, so, but guess what? It doesn't happen that way. And so here's what we have. But he gives us that. His YouTube channel is his son. He gave us the example of how to live this through his word. And so what we want to look at is this process of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday that's going to teach us all something really cool. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, so Friday is a day of pain. I think all of us can agree with that. When you recognize Good Friday, and we celebrated Good Friday this week, and for those of you who were here or were not, you can recognize that the palms that were used last week to celebrate Hosanna, we nailed to the cross. As we placed it and said, here you go, God. And we nailed him to that cross. On Friday, Jesus himself, he was betrayed. He was beaten. He was spat upon. He was in prison. He was flogged. He was taken out with a bleeding back, carrying a 75 to 100 pound crossbar that he couldn't carry himself, that he had to have somebody else because he's so weak. When they got him there, they stretched him out and they nailed his hands and feet to a cross and put him in a position where if he had to breathe, he'd pull his arms and legs up on. He suffered tremendously on that day. And I started asking myself this question. Jesus could have come and paid for our sins at any time in history because he's God. Yet he chose what most scholars believe is the worst time ever for capital punishment. Like today, if it was capital punishment, he may have gotten lethal injection. But he chose a time where he was tortured, and I asked the question why. I think because Jesus wanted to display that he was willing to experience the most intense amount of pain so that whatever pain you're going through, he can understand it. And so, the truth about Easter is the fact that some of you came in and you look really good. Look at the people around you. Some of you have a new shirt, new hat. Some of you may have no bonnets today, right? Remember those? Easter bonnets. You have a nice new shirt and you may have it. But really behind this is a heck of a lot of pain. And you got a good game face that's on, right? Here's my game face. Right? I got it. And you have a good game face. But inside or at home, it's a disaster, and there's a lot of pain. And so the word I want to use for Friday is this: battling. You are battling. You're at war in your own life. You see, there's different types of pain that I want to share with you that Jesus experienced and that many of us are experiencing. Number one is physical pain. We know that Jesus suffered tremendously physical pain, but I don't want to minimize that in this room or in the sound of my voice right now, there is someone who may be experiencing chronic pain. You may have had a surgery or several surgeries and it's not working and you're in intense pain. You may have back issues. You may have a diagnosis of cancer that you're in pain. You may have severe pain that you just deal with day in and day out. Or you may have emotional pain. You see, the scripture tells us that Jesus was despised and rejected. Maybe it was because he was born to a very poor family in a drag place of society known as Nazareth. To the fact when they said, that's Jesus of Nazareth, they said, can anything good come from there? Maybe, just maybe, no matter how we like to shape it to make ourselves feel good, maybe he was despised because he was born to an unwed mother. Did you think about that one? We like to doctor it up to make ourselves feel good, but she was unwed. You think that they called him that name that people do all the time? You're darn right they did. Or maybe you have good friends that you spend time with and you're betrayed by them. You see, Jesus had a couple, one named Judas, one named Peter, and you can name all the rest of them because it says every single one of them deserted him. So Jesus understands that emotional pain that you're going through. Maybe it's relational pain. It says he was tempted at all points. I heard somebody one time say, yeah, but he wasn't married. He didn't understand the pain of that. And I heard a pastor answer the most amazing way. He said, oh no, he was married. His bride's the church. And you know what? He knows what it's like to have his bride unfaithful to him. Jesus understands. He understands in amazing ways. Well, let's look at Jesus' family. You talk about relational family. They were crazy. Anybody have any crazy family? Anybody sit next to one? No, don't do that, okay? Somebody have a family that's a little like you. They may be coming over later and you're like, oh, tell them later and tell them earlier to get out of here, right? Anybody have one of those? Come on, you can admit it. I know some of your families. I know some of my family, right? So we have those type of families. Jesus' family, when he was preaching and people were coming to him and crowds were coming to him, his brothers outside said, what's he doing? That's Jesus. What the heck are you listening to him? To the point where Jesus said, hey, these are my mother and brothers. Forget them. That's crazy Ned, my brother, right? You know, whatever his name was, right? We have that. We have that weird relational connection in our families, don't we? Jesus understands that. So, Jack, why are you talking about all this? Because some of you are stuck in the Fridays of your life. Many of us in this room are stuck in a day of pain and we can't get out of it. And so what do we do with this? The lesson comes from Romans chapter 8. And it says this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. How much does God use? We know that God uses everything. Everything. Now this year, Haven is in its 11th year, and it's had a lot of changes and shifts over the years. And I want to tell you something. For coming together at this point and being here, sometimes I sit back and I go, really, God, you still have us going. I'm shocked in spite of me. But one of the things you don't know is you don't know that Haven got started about, I think it was 2008 was when we really got started, although we met in 2007. But many of you don't understand and may never know the most difficult, struggling years of my life probably happened in 2005, 6, and 7. There were times where I wrestled and I struggled and I was going to leave all this because of all the pain and suffering that I had and dealt with. And it took me getting certain places and shutting out the world to try to get God's voice to tell me to do something. God used some of the darkest moments of my life in order to bring about something that he wants to do in with me and with you. Because simply, God puts purpose in your pain. Whatever your pain is, God doesn't cause it, but he'll take it and use it in order for those who love him. So there is no pain that his purpose cannot restore. Somebody needs to know that today. There is no pain that God's purpose cannot restore. So many of us are in Friday. But what happens? There's another group of us that we've worked through some pain that we are now in Saturday. Welcome to Saturday. And Saturday is a day of confusion. Anybody confused? Anybody ever have times where you're really confused? Anybody turn on the television and you really, really want to be confused about what's going on in the world? You know what's interesting? The disciples never said on Saturday, tomorrow's going to be Easter. Woo! Yeah, he's going to come back. They knew it, didn't they? Didn't Jesus tell them that? But not one of them was waiting around Saturday saying, oh, it's almost Sunday. It's almost Sunday. They didn't. They were confused by that. How many of you have ever been confused by what God's doing in your life? And what we do at times is when we're confused, we tend to drop back to our old habits, don't we? We get back to the old practices and the old things. I have seen people in over the years of ministry experience some of the most highest points of God moving in areas. I've seen them go on trips. I've seen them have Bible studies. I've seen where God has healed them and been in their families. And I've seen them, because their lives get confusing, them walk away from God easily, and just like it was yesterday's news, and not have a clue what's going on. And go right back to what they were doing before God pulled them up out of that. And it confuses me. But the problem is, many of us are in Saturday. And so what is Saturday? The word for Saturday is something I can't stand. Waiting. How many of you like waiting? No one likes waiting. No one likes waiting that I know of. You see, because you've had pain and you've had the promise and you're stuck and you're like, come on, God, get on with it. And when we're confused, we go through several things. Like when I'm confused, you know what I want? I want answers. Anybody want answers? And you know, often the question I'll ask God is a three-letter word. Why? Anybody ever ask God why? How's that work for you? About as good as it does for me, am I right? Not very good. Like, for instance, when I die and go to heaven, there's some people in the Bible I'm going to find right away. Because I got some answers of why. Like one of them, Noah. Noah, couldn't you just dump the snakes off the side? And those mosquitoes, that's all it would have taken, right? Anybody agree with that? Little mosquito, snake, I'm good with that. Or what about Adam? I want to go find Adam, and I want to solve the question forever. Do you have a belly button? Did God go, right? He had no use for it. I want to know, did Adam have a belly button? Does anybody else think about this, or is it just my ADHD, right? I'll take it as ADHD. Okay, but either way, there's questions I want to know. There's stuff I want to know. And those are some humorous things. It looked like you need a little bit of humor right there. But there's things that I want to know in life that I'm not going to know here. And I don't like waiting. And when I wait, I want answers, but I also doubt. You know, there's a guy in the scripture, he goes down in history known as Doubting Thomas. And I got to tell you, I think Thomas gets a raw deal, because he wasn't there when Jesus came the first time. And he heard him saying that a dead guy who he saw in a crucifixion came back and popped in the room, and yet they're still in the room. And I'm sure he probably went, you guys been in this room a little long. Jesus pops up. He says, let me see those hands. Let me put it in there. He says, all right, what about the side? If it was Jack, I'd be like, when's my birthday? I'd ask him all kinds of things. Wouldn't you? Am I alone? It would have been Doubting Jack. That's a nice ring to it, okay? Doubting Jack, but I doubt things in life. And some of us have been in church so long and been in Christianity so long that we doubt that God has resurrection power. You see, our church has made it so nice and comfortable and made it just another organization, and we forgot that he is a God who heals and raises the dead to life. And we need to get back to that first century stuff. Anybody with me? All right. Another thing that we do is we give up. Two of Jesus' closest followers gave up. Judas, yeah, he goes down as the one who betrayed him. But all Judas had to do was repent. Judas gave up and hung himself. You know how many people that are confused in their lives give up on life itself? And let's call this other guy. Let's Simon Peter. He gave up, cursed Jesus, and went fishing. And every time in Scripture, as I said, he never catches anything without the help of Jesus. He probably was easy to lay down his nets because there was nothing in him anytime he did it himself. And then others, when we feel confused and we're waiting, some of us just feel alone. Have you ever been in a room full of people and just felt alone? Like you're the only person that's there. That nobody cares, that God is so far removed from you, you don't know what's going on at all, and you feel abandoned. Let me ask you, is that how Jesus felt? Alone and abandoned when everybody left him? He understands. So how do we get out of the Saturday experience? How do we get out of Saturday? Well, what I've learned in my life is in order to get out of Saturday, we got to get as close to God as we can. And so how do you do that? It's called worship. And I want to take you to a psalm. It's not one written by David, but it's written by David's worship leader. His name is Asaph. And Asaph writes a psalm where he's confused. And he says this: when I tried to understand all this, how many have ever tried to understand all this? It troubled me deeply. How many of you have ever been troubled deeply by trying to understand something? You're trying to understand why your life turned out the way it did. You're trying to understand why people treat you the way they do when all you've tried to do is love them. You're trying to understand how your relationships broke up. You're trying to understand how you don't have your job. You're trying to understand all this stuff around you. And then all of a sudden, he says, it troubled me deeply until I entered the sanctuary of the Lord of God, and then I understood their final destiny. In other words, when he got into the presence of God and got close to God, he didn't care about anything else, and he understood that God's working. Some of us just need to recapture what worship is. It's just shutting everything else out and getting connected to Christ and not caring what people think around you, not caring if you can carry a tune in a bucket, but just getting focused on God and getting close to Him, getting close to Him. So what is Sunday? Sunday is a day. Oh, wait, let me give you one thing. I almost skipped it. But here's our thing here. There is no confusion that His presence cannot come. And that leads us to Sunday. Sunday is a day of resurrection. And so what is that? The word is winning. How many of you like to win? How many of you like to win at stuff? You're so competitive, you like to win. How many of you will cheat to win? Anybody? I know you're out there. Right? Like you're playing somebody in golf and you run over their golf ball with a cart. You kick yours along the way. Who's done it? Yeah, there we go, Jeff. I see you. There we go. A couple with Danny. There you go. All right. You see, you may be dealing with the pain of Friday right now. You may be stuck in the waiting of Saturday. But as Tony Campolo once said, Sunday's coming. And with Sunday, we have victory. In Sunday, we win. Look at the person next to you and say, you won. Why do we know that? How do I get this? How do I get that winning thing? How do I go ahead and get a winner every time? It's one word. Are you ready for this word? It's Jesus. It's the only way you win. His name is Jesus. That's the only way you win. John 11 says this. And Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha. When Lazarus died, and it's funny to me at this time because before they go, they get told that Lazarus is going to die. And here's where you have Thomas starting this off. Remember I told you they were a little wacky? You have Thomas who's there, and they come to Jesus. The people wanted to kill Jesus, and Jesus says to them, hey, Lazarus isn't dead, he's asleep. And they say, let's let him sleep, he'll get better. He said, no, he's dead, and we're waiting a little while because we want him dead, and then we're going to go back there. And Thomas, whose name is actually a nickname, it means twin, because what many scholars believe is that he looked a lot like Jesus. So they called him Thomas as a nickname. So imagine, people want to kill Jesus. You're going back to where Lazarus is dead, and you're the one who looks like Jesus. He ain't too happy about it. And guess what? I want to tell you something. People aren't going to be too happy in this world if you look and like Jesus in this world. But he goes back. He says, why don't we all go back so we can die too? Because he cared more about what was here. And Jesus, when he gets there, says to her, she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would live. And he said to her, something very, very important, because the resurrection is not an event, it is a person. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and what? Believes in me shall never die. And then he looks right at her and asks a question. It's something that we need to ask ourselves. Do you believe this? If we don't believe this, we're wasting all our time. Let's close the doors and get the heck out of here and do something else. You got to ask yourself, do you believe this? When you're stuck on Friday in pain, do you believe that he is the resurrection of life? When you're stuck in confusion on Saturday, do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? And it's not only on Easter when you're winning that you say, I believe this. You see, because there is no death that his power cannot resurrect. And so ultimately, Easter is not just for Jesus to raise from the dead. It is to give life to everything that's dead in you and me. In Revelation chapter 1, I love the fact that Jesus says this. He says, I am he who lives and was dead. That's what separates us. He was dead. Other people can go visit their founders of their religion because they're dead. He was and he's alive. And he says, I am alive forevermore. And then he says, amen. And I think that's really cool because that means that he's talking to people and he's saying, hey, he says this, I am alive, I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore. And they looked at him like this. And he went, amen. Sometimes I feel that way. When you're looking at me, and I go, amen. I'm going, amen myself. Jesus is amen in himself. And he says, I what? Have the keys of hell and death. You know what? How cool this is? Satan is so defeated he doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. Wake the person up next to you and say, that's cool. All right? So basically, here's what you're learning today. You're learning that Jesus is the landlord for hell. He has the keys. And what do? Keys open locks. Keys open things. And so what we learn in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 is, Paul said, I got some stuff in my life I need opened. And he said this, he said, you know what? I want to know Christ. Now, by the time he wrote this, he had written a lot of things. I would have figured of anybody, I would have thought he really knew Christ. But look what he says. I want to know Christ. I want to know him more. And the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Because resurrection power is what gives life to dead things. You may be sitting here today, and you may be in one of those days' experiences, and you may be saying this. You may be saying, I love God. I truly love God, but my life is in ruins. You don't know about my relationships. You don't know the stuff I've done. I can't even begin to forgive myself, and I'm never going to get back. I'm in ruins. It's ruin. I looked up ruins, and the definition is, something reduced to a state of decay, collapse, or disintegration. Do we have any golfers in here? Anybody who likes golf, history of golf? Okay, so I want to show you a picture here, and it's from Scotland. And there's a very famous golf place in Scotland. Anybody know what it's called? St. Andrews, okay? St. Andrews. And this is on the other side, and this is called St. Andrews Cathedral. Okay, St. Andrew's Cathedral was built in the 1200s. That's a little while ago, right? It was consecrated in 1318, and 60 years later, it burned to the ground. They completely rebuilt it, put it back up. A couple years later, it had another disaster and flattened to the ground. They built it back up. It had another disaster several years later to the ground. They built it back up. It had another disaster. It went to the ground, and they built it back up until it ended up in this condition in the 1600s, and they said, no more, we're not building it again. And the reason why I'm showing you this is because I believe that's how many of our lives are. Many of our lives, we start out on a good foundation, we build it up, and Friday happens. And then we start again, and we build it back up. And then guess what? We get through Friday, and then Saturday happens, and it tears it down again. And then we build it back up, and then Friday happens again, and then another Saturday. And we get to the point where we say, enough, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm ruined. You may say, I tried to make good choices in my life. It didn't end up well. I tried to make good financial choices in my life, but I'm still broke, so I give up. I've tried to work on my marriage or my relationship, and guess what? It's still broken. It's worse than it's ever been. I'm done. Or students, any students in here? You're getting to that point in the semester where you say, I tried for good grades, but it ain't going to happen. Right? Not with all those Fs. I'm not going to ask for hands. We'll pray for you, okay? You might be there. And the thing is that something is going to be ruined. That's a fact. But only with resurrection power can it live again. You see, Jesus is giving us an invitation of newness, of a life and restoration. And I want to end today's message with a section of scripture and a story that goes with it. Jesus went back into his own hometown. Remember where people knew him as that guy, Joseph's son, that carpenter's boy. And he opened a scroll and began to read this verse from Isaiah 61. And here's what he read. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Now, he's not talking about financially poor. He's talking about people who are spiritually destitute. People who have a form of God in their life, but they're just, there's something missing there. And the good news that he says is, I'm taking care of this. He says he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to begin the process of healing, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, God is working, and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion. This verse, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. In other words, everything, just like that verse that we began this, that video that we began this message with, where one way we're looking at this and it's going from life to death. When Jesus says, I came to reverse that and take death and bring it to life. He didn't come to just save us, but to rebuild us. And then he says, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. How can they be restored? You see, Easter is not a celebration of an event. It's about God wanting to rebuild and restore something that is dead and lost in your life and giving it new life. So how can we do this? How can we do this? Now, every year when it comes to Easter, I want to look at something. I always say, God, you know, maybe somebody's coming for the first time. Maybe somebody hadn't been in church. Maybe somebody just is having, in this case, I'll use the language today, a Friday experience or a Saturday experience, and they're far from you. And God, I want to just be ready to give the right thing. God, use me and say the right thing, because for me, this is passionate. So I'm going to give you some really interesting words. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I will tell you, if you have areas of your life that you're carrying around that are causing you to die on the vine, if there's areas that in your life are killing you slowly, here's what I'm going to tell you. Stop dying. How's that for deep? Stop dying. Stop it. Look at the person next to you and go, stop it. Okay? Stop dying. Reverse the story, much like those people did. Did you notice how when they were saying it at first that it was just down and down and down, it was ending into nothingness? But when they reversed it and saw God in the midst of it, it brought life. It brought life. Because God wants to take death and bring it to life. C.S. Lewis, the writer of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the great theologian, wrote this. Easter is death working backwards. You see, Jesus is the only one that can take decay and ruin and bring it new life. That's what John 11 was about. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, do you believe this? And then you have to do this. You need to start rebuilding. As I said, every year, Easter comes along, and I get even more passionate and more weight on me because I say, God, I just really want somebody to know you and grow closer to you than ever before. And my attitude has changed over the years now that I end into somebody who has, let's call me a seasoned pastor. Somebody's been around for a while, okay? And my goal is not to be the largest in attendance in the area or to have the most Haven Community Churches on every corner in the county or around the world or to have my name and face in lights or on some kind of channel or anything. Those years are long gone. My greatest hope is that God will use something in this service here today to minister to somebody, to speak to somebody, to say, you know what? I want to come back next week because I want this to be a journey. I don't want it to be a moment. I want it to be a journey with me, with Christ. You see, God's grace is not just to save you. God's grace will meet you wherever you are, but it will never leave you where it found you. I'm glad about that. Grace, what is God's grace? It's undeserved favor and love. God wants to take the person with bad choices, the person who has brokenness in their life, and he wants to take that and change it all around to rebuild and begin to start rebuilding. The third thing we have to do, stop doubting. You know, throughout my life, there's a lot of times, like a lot of people know me as like kind of this guy who, like, I walk into a room, you know I'm there, you hear me. Am I right? Yeah, I walk in, it's like, boom, oh my gosh, enough of Jack, right? I don't sneak in anywhere. Not countries, not anywhere. I come in, and I come in with a splash. And, but I got to tell you that throughout my life, there's been times where I've doubted what God's called me to do. You see, when I was in college, I went to West Virginia University, and I got a D in communications. Let me share this with you. Let me respond to you again. I got a D in West Virginia on communications. Yeah, now it's making a little more sense. Sorry if you're from West Virginia. Yeehaw, I get it, right? But you know what I'm saying? West Virginia. Almost heaven, right? A D in communications. I'm not going to tell you that at the time it was my major. I communicate for a living. Here in the school. That's what I do for a living. But I can tell you during some of these points in my life, I haven't been the most organized person. Right? Anybody knows me? I haven't been the most scheduled. And for much of my life, I'm not supposed to be Reverend Cohen. That's my dad. I'm Joanne's son. I'm Jill's brother. I'm not supposed to be Jack as a pastor. No, that's somebody else's deal. But you know what's awesome? When you stop doubting God, God sees something in you that you never would have saw. Ever. And right now, as you look around this room, I see tons of potential in what God sees in your lives if you'll just stop doubting and get past Saturday and get to winning. You see, God sees greatness in me. You need to know this. God sees greatness in me when I can't see it in myself. If you will just let him show you. You see, God loves to see people saved. But he loves more so when people discover their amazing purpose. And some of you have been told and believe you're something else than you are. And what you are is a child of the King. And he loves you, and he's given you giftedness and empowered you for his kingdom and his purpose. And you are his son and his daughter. Stop doubting it and recognize, flip that around to the point that you are no longer what somebody told you. You're no longer what your actions are, but it's flipped back around that now your actions are just a part of God's restoration in your life. Embrace it and give yourself the greatest resurrection story here today. Because once you stop dying, and once you start rebuilding, and once you stop doubting, you can do this. You can start living. Really living. And you say, what? That's what I'm doing, Jack. What is it? No, we're not living. We're not living the way God intended for us. Well, give me the definition of living, Jack. Okay, here it is, as we wind this down. I believe from reading this and doing the study and looking at the scripture that living is a warped, addicted, broken, selfish, arrogant, mouthy, throw whatever you want, life in that God has restored to the point that that person is now serving and teaching and sharing and loving, where there was none of that in their life because God flipped the story around and changed your life. That's living. And what Easter is about is flipping the story around. Flip it. Flip it around. Look what he did with the disciples. He flipped their story. Peter didn't believe that he could be the one that Jesus built the church upon, the rock. It wasn't until resurrection power. And he said, and Jesus asked him the question, do you believe? He said, oh, I believe. And he flipped it around. And it became one of the greatest stories ever. You see, every single one of them dealt with their Fridays. Every single one of them but John died a martyr's death. Every single person that followed Christ in those early days, so many of them died tragic deaths of pain. But you see, they knew that they had Sunday and they had the victory. You see, we are no different than those people from today. We just got to start living. We just got to start living and serving. For where there is ruin, God loves ruins because that's when he can start rebuilding and bringing new life. And this is passionate to me because I'm going to say something to you. I can't stand religion because religion is not about life. It's about restriction. It's about handcuffing. Jesus never came to have a religion. He came that you may have life and have it abundantly. If I ask people, and I've done this several years, about their experiences with church, people have consistently said that the church existed for them to tell them how bad they were and how awful they should feel about it and repent, 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 repent. You've heard it, am I right? And it's part of the story. But Jesus on the cross never said, repent, repent, repent. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And he loved them. And he flipped the story on the cross and completely flipped it on that Sunday. See, ultimately, here's the end of this. Jesus did not come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. We are the walking dead. We are. But there's hope. Because Jesus makes dead things alive. So there's areas in your life of brokenness. Give it to him. He wants to bring new life. I didn't put up the picture, but it's a great picture. And maybe I'll put it up on our Facebook page. Of Death Valley. Anybody ever heard of Death Valley? Anybody ever been to Death Valley? You know why it's called Death Valley? Ain't nothing there. It's dead. It's just barren. Several years ago, they had, for the first time in history, some rain that came through. Not a ton, but enough. And several months later, they took a picture. I challenge you to look at it. Google it. It showed Death Valley full of flowers. You see? What people believed was dead forever had life. It just needed to be watered. You here today may feel like Death Valley. You may feel like there's nothing of substance, that your life's in ruin. But I'm here to tell you, the resurrection of Christ is watering your life today. You may not see the flowers tomorrow, but stay the course. Came so that you can experience resurrection power. Like Paul, I want to know him and resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's all I got today. What I want you to do, after we move to this worship, on the bottom of this thing here, number 3 says, my next step in my spiritual journey, because that's what Jesus is offering. And I get it if you don't want to fill it out. I'm one of those people too. I get it. Just fake it. All right? But ask yourself where you are. If you're A, I'm beginning a real relationship with God. B, expressing my faith in Jesus and I want to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized in a public statement of faith in him. Or C, I'd like to learn more about becoming a member of Haven Church and please send me information. Or D, I'd like to become part of a small group. None of that is about me and none of that is about this church. It's all about Jesus. The day this becomes about me is the day I stop. It's about Jesus. He wants to make you alive. When maybe people have told you you're dead your whole life. And if it's nowhere, and if you're like, I'm not in this, just don't write anything. And at the end today, there's going to be baskets at the door. We just want to hear the stuff for the messages. But what I want to do is I want to be able to help you. This church means nothing if we aren't helping people get closer to Jesus. It means nothing. And if this isn't true, we're all wasting our time. Do you believe? Let's stand and let's celebrate one more time as a group together that he is the Lord. Amen?
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested in my life. Began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Release from my chain. My shame was a ransom. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, it's your grace so free washes over me. You have made love. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. And darkness rejoiced as though heaven had won. Here's the good news. But then Jesus arose with my freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, it's your grace so free washes over. Me. You have made it new now.
All right, everybody, have a happy rest of your Easter, and God bless, and tell somebody, happy Easter.